Show. I'm Dr. Bernie Wilkinson.
I'm Dr. Richard Marshall.
And it's Tuesday. I almost said Thursday, but it's Tuesday, November 22nd, 2016. And this is our second day in this series that we're doing on families and relationships and marriages and things like that. Mm-hmm. And today we're going to talk about what happens when kids are introduced into the... You know, I have this couple that I'm working with, and it's fascinating. There's this one that I'm working with right now, but over the years, you know, we've worked with so many relationships where everything is going well, everything's going great, and then they had kids. They were like, "We want to have children so bad," right. And then they have children, and they think, "Oh my gosh, mm-hmm. you know, we thought we were ready." And then we had kids, and it's challenging. You know, I think we start out our parenting book with the fact that, you know, parenting is the most wonderful, rewarding, punishing,
difficult,
challenging task that we will ever take on in our life. Right. And it's because, you know, you think and sort of hope and wish that you have this control and this, you're able to monitor and manage everything. But introducing children is sort of like introducing a tornado.
Changes everything.
It changes everything.
It really does. And for those of you who are listening who have children, you probably know what we mean by that.
Yeah.
If you don't have children, listen carefully.
Right.
Because one of the things that you need, one of the sort of shocking truths about marriage is that... marriage, it's the best you're ever going to have is when you're dating.
Right.
This is as good as it's going to be. Please understand that
so when there's a good.
I'm sorry, but that is the ugly truth. Is that when you're engaged, when you think about, you know, this is the best that your relationship is probably going to be.
Because at that point, again, the reality is that both of you are working really, really hard.
That's right.
To make it work.
You're trying to make the relationship work, okay? And you're willing to give in, and you're willing to compromise, and you're willing to put your best foot forward.
Right.
You're really working hard at the relationship.
Right.
This is as good as it's going to be.
Right.
After this, and what we know is this, during the first year, marriage satisfaction begins to decline in the first year.
Right.
It just is a natural process for almost all marriage, is that satisfaction begins to decline during the first year. And what happens is, if you have children, it declines at a faster rate.
Right.
That's what all the research is showing,
right.
Which is kind of a shocking truth. And, I apologize to all children. That would be all of us.
Right.
Right? Since we're all children.
We're all
somebody.
Somebody's kids.
I apologize to all children, and I don't mean to be so very negative about this, but the fact is that when children enter a relationship, that marriage dissatisfaction happens at about twice the rate of childless couples.
Well, and I think that it's important here, you know, as we're getting started, is because we said that we were going to do this at the beginning of each episode for the next couple weeks. Remember that we're going to be talking about some things that you may not want little ones to hear.
Right.
Again, not because we're going to go into any graphic detail about anything or be crude about anything or like that, but we're going to talk about it in very real terms.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that some parents feel like that introduces ideas and thoughts and then will elicit questions that they may not want to have to field at this time. And depending on the age of their kids and everything. So if you have little ones around, you may want to hold off. Again, I don't know that we're really going to get into a lot of detail about some of that kind of stuff today. But as you were just saying, you know, the reality is that having children introduces challenges in a relationship. And we're certainly not going to say that children are the reason that any relationship fails.
Mm-hmm.
But we are going to talk about it in terms that that again may elicit emotions and feelings and thoughts and questions and stuff that you don't want to manage. So just be cautious of that as we get started.
Thank you for that. Because children will cause dissatisfaction to accelerate. An unplanned pregnancy is even a faster acceleration of marriage dissatisfaction.
Yeah, and we bless you.
Excuse me.
See, you can sneeze like that. I can't see. When I sneeze, it's a sneeze.
You've covered the computer screen. It's with your windshield wipers. Well,
we'd have to start the podcast over again because it would not be good.
Short-circuit all the electronics.
But so we, you know, Tuesdays is, you know, mental health in the news. Right. And so there we're going to kind of cover some of the information from an article earlier this year. It was back in May. In the Washington Post,
right.
And because the title of this article was so fitting for what we're going to talk about, in a rough way, it says the title is "Why Having Children Is Bad for Your Marriage."
Right, that sort of jumped right out at us because we reviewed some of the literature on this topic, and then when we got to this article, I said, "Well, this is what we're going to be, not what we intended to talk about." Because we were a little bit surprised when we jumped into the literature to find out about how marriage satisfaction declines within the first and second year, and the impact that children, you sort of sense that children change a marriage. We didn't realize the negative effects that, it even surprised us a little bit, the negative effects that having children have on a marriage.
Yeah, I think that we work with couples on these issues and sort of anecdotally and just a sort of window into the life of a psychologist and probably the life of anyone in the health related field. The more individuals that you see, sometimes the more normal their problems appear.
Right.
So, you know, when you're working with almost every couple that you're working with, if this is an issue, it just seems like, oh, it's just, you know, that's just the way that it is.
Right.
When in reality, it's still probably problematic. It's just that it becomes your new normal. It becomes your new typical.
Right.
So that is a challenge in the health related fields. But so we see that with the individuals that we work with, but it certainly was surprising to see that it is much more common than just in the area of psychology where we're working with families who are having problems.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the reason that children exert this kind of, many reasons, but one of the reasons is that, and I didn't know this, the biggest predictor of life satisfaction is satisfaction with your spouse.
Oh,
makes sense.
Kind of makes sense.
But it's one of those things that you don't really think about.
Mm-hmm.
You think of work and you think of your golf game and you think of your, but the biggest predictor of life satisfaction is satisfaction with your spouse.
Well, it goes back to that happy wife, happy life. You know, that saying.
That's right.
And so,
if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, right?
That's funny hearing you talk like that because you never talk like that. Well, that's great.
Never talk Southern?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start. Okay, so, and that's where all that stuff comes from. Happy life, happy wife.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There are reasons for all these stereotypes. And so,
I thought it came from Madea.
No, but I love
Tyler.
The idea. And so what happens is if your satisfaction comes from your relationship with your spouse, what children do is they change that relationship.
Right.
Okay. Whether we want them to or not, of course. And I liken it to if you have two, you invite a friend over for a sleepover. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have a 7-year-old child.
Right.
You invite a friend over, and there's two of them, and they're playing, and they get along just great. Introduce a third person into that, and what happens?
Yeah.
Now you start the bickering, because then there's
teaming up.
Okay, that's the same thing that happens when you introduce a child into your relationship, because now you have this third person. You were getting along fine as a dyad, as a couple, but all of a sudden there's this third thing now that we have to deal with. Okay, so things begin to change.
Right.
What changes is what a child does is they change our identities.
Right.
They change our roles. So couples go from a wife to a mother. That's a very different role that she plays. A husband goes from a lover or a partner to a provider.
Right.
Your role changes. Everybody's role changes when you have a child.
Yeah.
So you have wife to mother, husband to provider. You go from lovers when you were just a couple to parents.
Right.
Very, very different
role. Different role.
So it's the fundamental identity that changes each partner's identity changes when you have a child.
Right.
Okay. That's the first thing that happens. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's surprising because I think that, well, not surprising. I think it takes people by surprise.
Yes.
When this happens, right. Because you, a lot of people really do enter into this new stage of life with the expectation that, you know, it's just, especially during the first year, he's going to sleep and it's going to be fine, right. And I'll just keep going to work and I'll keep doing my thing.
We'll keep everything going. All we're going to do is put another person into our house.
Right.
That's no problem. You don't realize that the entire house changes. The entire context of your life is going to change.
Right. If for no other reason, but for the fact that you don't sleep.
Right. That's the start. Okay.
So it's so important that we recognize that ahead of time,
right?
So that we can then not just prepare, because even if we prepare,
you're
not going to be fully prepared.
You can't.
You think you will be, but you won't be.
But at least you know that you're not experiencing something odd or unusual.
Right.
This is what happens to marriages.
Yeah.
You're not going through anything unique. You're not experiencing anything that is unexpected.
Right.
Okay. So understand that. I think understanding that helps you to manage it a little bit better.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Because, again, having kids can be wonderful. Mm-hmm. And it is usually wonderful because of the things, you're passing on things and you're, it really is, you know, Erickson talks about that stage of development where you're reviewing what you're handing down, what legacy you're leaving. Well, there's nothing that epitomizes that more than having children.
Than being a parent, right. That's right.
So it really is an important stage of our development, even as adults.
Right. And then at a practical level, so now we have this identity, our identity. At a practical level, what happens? Generally speaking, mothers become more involved with the children and taking care of, managing that. I'm not saying taking care of the house. I'm saying you're managing the home schedule, the house schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Who has to get up and who has a dentist appointment? When do we have a doctor? That usually falls to mothers, typically. So what is dad doing? Dad's spending more time at work because he has to generate more income.
Right.
He has to provide more. So dad sort of devotes more of his time to work outside the home.
Mm-hmm.
Mom tends to devote herself to the children and managing the household income and food and, you know, just running a household. Somebody has to do that.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Typically it falls to the mother. Not always, but typically it falls to the mother.
Right.
Okay.
And it's a very different...
And you drift.
It's a very different, yeah, absolutely.
You start to drift apart because now you're focusing on two very different things.
Right.
So the drift begins to happen. So we already know that marriage dissatisfaction begins in the first year. Well, now when you have a child, it accelerates that process of dissatisfaction.
Right. Okay? Which is why it's so important that in relationships, especially when we start having children, that we take time in those that first year, but even as time passes, that we take time to focus on the relationship.
That's right.
You know, to spend time in that original role of husband and wife and intimate partner and all of that. Because when we get so consumed with this new role, that's when we start to, like you said, drift apart and we start living very separate lives. We're just kind of roommates. And
that's
how many times have you heard that
from
couples where we're just basically roommates?
That's right. And we always say, There are three people in a relationship. There's each individual in the relationship. Then you have the relationship.
Right.
And you have to take care of all three.
Right.
If you don't take care of your relationship, even without children,
if
you're not tending to the relationship, it's going to come apart.
Absolutely.
Relationships never are static.
Right.
Your relationship is either getting worse. It's either getting better or it's falling apart.
Right.
There is no such thing as maintaining the relationship. You may not realize it's falling apart. You're going to eventually.
Right.
But it's either getting better or it's getting worse. And you need to do, each person needs to do everything he or she can to keep that relationship healthy and vibrant.
Absolutely. So again, when you have children, you know, we want to make sure that you want to make sure that you spend time with the children. Oftentimes it's important for you to spend one-on-one time with the children. So mom with each individual child, the dad with each individual child.
That's right.
Then as a family, everyone together, and then the parents together without the children. You have to still have date night. You still have to have opportunities for just the two of you to spend alone time together without the the worries and the obligations that having the kids bring, because
that's right.
That's what's going to hold the relationship together. That's what's going to help you maintain the relationship in a healthy, vibrant, and enduring way.
Right. And the other thing,
so that's like, look at the different pots of time that you have to carve out.
That's
You have your individual time, you have your individual child time, and then you have your couple time. I mean, that can be, you know, especially when you have more and more kids.
And don't leave your marriage to chance. You know, plan carefully. Think about all this stuff and plan carefully. What's going to happen is, and what happens to mothers when we talk about an identity, is that you become more socially isolated. You know, so if you have a woman who has worked all of her life,
right?
She's been in school and then she worked and she's out in the world. Doesn't matter what she's doing, but she's out in the world and then suddenly she stays home.
Right.
There's social isolation.
Right.
You begin to lose
your
all that. So the role really changes.
Yeah.
And so we have to keep all this stuff in mind, that everybody's role begins to change. Yeah. And you begin to introduce these things, and you have to be mindful of what's going on in your relationship when you introduce a child into it. You introduce two children, more complicated. Three children, more complicated yet.
Right.
So with each child, the complications increase.
Right.
And you need to manage all those. But you need to manage, you need to tend to the relationship. You can't let it, you can't let the relationship dissolve. Because what's going to happen in 18 or 20 years, the kids are going to be gone.
Right.
Okay. And in some cases, when the kids leave, the parents regroup, they rejoin.
Right.
Okay. They resurrect and their relationship. And they say, wow, this is great. We have this time together. In other cases, sadly, the children leave and the parents realize that they are completely different.
They're incompatible.
They have
now
grown completely apart, unbeknownst to them.
Right.
You know, the glue was the children. Children are gone. They have absolutely nothing in common.
Right.
Yeah. That's what leads to these late marriage divorces.
Right.
You know, after 25 or 26 years,
right,
people get divorced because they have absolutely nothing in common.
Yeah, and we sometimes confuse that with midlife crises and things like that.
No.
But really, it is just that they've just grown apart. So the message for the day is, you know, when you have kids, it is a wonderful, spectacular thing. My son, he even since he was very little, he would always ask me, you know, is it fun being a dad? and I always lied and said, yes, no, I'm just joking. I always said, yeah, man, it's fantastic being a dad. Mm-hmm. But I'm also honest with him. I said, but it's very difficult. And it's very challenging sometimes, because I have to be the best dad I can to you, but I also have to be the best dad I can to your sister and to your stepsister and to everyone else. So it's tough, because it really takes up time and it requires a lot of effort, but it is extremely rewarding if we do it the right way. So make sure you take that time. Make sure you have the time to nurture the relationship that is sort of the underpinning of, you know, parenting and being the best mom or dad that you can be. You have to take care of the relationship as well. So
tend to the relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a nice little garden, but it needs a lot of work.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of weeds.
Right.
So, all right. Well, that is it for today.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be back tomorrow, because tomorrow we're going to talk about sort of a slight twist to having kids, and that is the idea of blended families. So what's different about having stepchildren?
Right.
And what does that introduce?
Unique challenges.
Absolutely. So, all right.
Okay.
So that's it for today. Have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye. Bye.